This 4th of July, celebrate freedom from bad sleep at Sleep Outfitters. Right now, save up to 70% on best-selling mattresses from the brands you know and trust. Plus, with select Sealy purchases, get a free adjustable base to help you sleep cooler, deeper, and more comfortably. Not sure which mattress is right for you? Our exclusive bed match diagnostic technology helps match your body to the perfect mattress in just minutes. And get free white glove delivery and setup, plus our lifetime price guarantee and 0% interest financing. Hurry into Sleep Outfitters. These deals won't last.
The Sleep Outfitters 4th of July sale is on. Save up to 70% on best-selling mattresses store-wide. Plus, get a free adjustable base with select Sealy purchases. And enjoy 0% interest financing and free white glove delivery and setup only at Sleep Outfitters.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Super Scoreboard. Ross McCrory is leaving Rangers on loan with the promise of being first choice, and Sarajevo think they've found Celtic's weaknesses. I'm Alison Conroy, and joining me on tonight's show is Fraser Wishart.
Yeah, hi Alison. First time on the show this summer for me, and it doesn't seem that long ago since we were packing the headphones away and parking off for the summertime, and here we are on the verge of the start of the big games and the European ties next week. Beginning to look forward to the season already. Lots of signings, particularly from Rangers this summer as well. But a big week for our teams in Europe. We want our teams to do well in Europe. The coefficient rose last year, so we need Aberdeen, we need Kilmarnock to support the Old Firm and get us right up the rankings. And perhaps we might even get a team qualifying automatically in a year or two for the Champions League.
Absolutely, fingers crossed. Well, let's start with Rangers. And midfielder Ross McCrory is set to join Portsmouth on loan with the option for the League One side to buy him at the end of the season. Fraser, I'll put this in some context. Kenny Jackett, the Portsmouth boss, has told him he will be first choice pick. Shrewsbury were the other team that were interested in him. They were guaranteeing him a certain number of games, but with no option to buy. When you look at Shrewsbury and Portsmouth, you would think Portsmouth is the better fit as well. A team that will be up at the other end challenging. He'll be attacking more than defending, which will improve his game in that aspect as well.
Absolutely. You know, and if he's not going to have a future at Rangers, and you kind of wonder whether he will come back if there's an option to buy. Now, that doesn't mean that young Ross has to go, but if you're going to go for a year's loan down to that kind of level, then I think Portsmouth are a great move for him. They're a big club, and it's only five, six, maybe 7 years since they won the FA Cup. They were in the Premiership. They had all the financial problems. They're coming back, and they almost got to the Championship. So from his point of view, spend a season there, you know, enjoy the football. They're a big club with a big crowd, and he might even be playing in the Championship next season. So for me, no-brainer and a good move for young Ross.
It's something that seems to have split opinion amongst the Rangers fans, though, with some annoyed that Steven Gerrard is letting him go on loan.
Yeah, I can see that. I think he's done really well, particularly in that sitting midfield role. But when you look at the competition, and if you're sitting there as Ross McCrory, when you've had taste of the first team in the last year and a half, and you've played at a good level, if you're not going to play, and you know, and you've got the likes of Jack and Kamara and Davis and Arfield, Ojo's come in as well, so he's going to be a regular playing in, just off the front as well. So if you're Ross McCrory and you're looking at it and you're thinking, do I really want to be a cover player again? He needs to move on to that next stage. And from his point of view, he'll have had a chat with Steven Gerrard, who I'm sure would have been perfectly honest with him and said, listen, you're not going to be a first choice. Then for Ross, then he's got a decision to make. And for me, it makes sense. It makes sense. He could come back to Rangers. You know, if he has a great season and things change at Rangers, you never know. But from his point of view, he's got to be playing regular first team football. And that's always the problem when you're playing at the Old Firm. Reach 20, 21. You're maybe not playing as often as you can. So for me, it makes sense.
Steven Gerrard's still looking to get another couple of players in this transfer window, but he's keen to get still a few out as well.
Yeah, there are. It's a big squad now, and I think a number of players were left behind from the trip to Portugal, like Sir Graham Doran and Eros Dereska and a few others as well. So it's always the problem, and I face it in my role at PFA Scotland all the time, where you have a player who's got a long-term contract, be it a year, be it 2 years. The club don't really fancy him. The player's not particularly wanting to stay, but he can't get the same terms elsewhere. And it always becomes a bit of an issue for the clubs trying to move players on. But as long as it's handled properly, as long as it's done properly and the players are treated properly in the meantime, then there's never any problem. But I think he'll need to get a few players out, Steven Gerrard, before he can get more in, because I think he's signed 7 or 8 players already in this transfer window.
Are you surprised that there hasn't been reported as much interest in Alfredo Morelos as expected. Suggestions today that Crystal Palace were interested. Rangers haven't heard anything about that. So as far as they're aware, there is no interest there at the moment.
I am a bit surprised. I do wonder whether sometimes maybe his disciplinary record, people just kind of look at it and think, well, we need another look at him. Is he learning? Is he learning from his mistakes? There's no doubt he's a terrific talent. He really is a big, talented player. And he's still young. And I think sometimes we forget that he's a Colombian lad who's come up to end up in Scotland, this rainy country, via Finland, which is absolutely freezing. And yet he get caught out doing some daft things last season. But football-wise, I think he's got the ability to play at that kind of Premiership level. So somebody somewhere, I think, might take a chance. But I'm a bit surprised there's not been more, even speculation. I mean, this is the first real bit of speculation I can think of, although it was wrong. But usually there's stories going around of teams watching him. But if he's still at Rangers, I'm sure the fans will be happy.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's not as if Rangers are determined to get rid of him. They'd be quite happy if their top scorer is still there next season.
Well, they're going to have to replace him, and the stories about Kyle Lafferty maybe moving on as well. So you've got Jermaine Defoe as one of your main strikers, and teams only go with maybe two main strikers these days, maybe three. But if Lafferty moves on, if Morelos is to move on, then Steven Gerrard all of a sudden would have to sign another striker. But I think Steven Gerrard, if you asked him, he's not interested in getting the money in. It's the money men that might make that decision. But if Rangers start the season with Morelos and Defoe in competition, and I think Defoe will be fitter, he'll be stronger, he'll be better, then Rangers will be in decent shape.
You can give us a call tonight, 0141 951 1025, or of course tweet us at Clyde SSB. And Ross in Mauchline has given us a call. Hello, Ross.
Hi, Alison. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Alison, it's just to say, right, I heard you talk about Ross McCrory for Rangers, apparently. It's just to find out why is Ross McCrory leaving. And then all the time up at Clyde 101, I hear nothing but Rangers players leaving. What's wrong with, is there something wrong with Gerrard? Or do they not like Gerrard? Because every day I hear somebody's leaving, being I'm a strong Rangers fan.
Fraser, it's a case that Gerrard's changing things round. Some players have come in and maybe not had the impact that he was expecting. He was looking, as you touched on already, Ross McCrory might be a little bit down the pecking order, and somebody like him wants to play football.
Yeah, I mean, Ross, I don't think it's a problem with the manager. In fact, I know it's not a problem with the manager. The players do respect him. But if you're Ross McCrory and Steven Gerrard, and you're looking at the situation, you look at the number of games he started last season, he really wasn't a regular starter. He came in the season before, and I thought he was a kind of star for Rangers during that period when they fell apart under Graham Murty towards the end of that season. But he was consistent as a young lad. But last season, he didn't start many games. And you get to a stage, Ross, as a football player where, yes, you're at a big club, and yes, you're progressing, but you're looking and you're thinking, I'm not going to play. I'm not going to be a first team regular. It doesn't matter how often I play well. I've got Jack and Kamara in that defensive midfield area. Davis plays quite deep as well. Arfield's in the centre midfield area as well. So you've got all these players ahead of you. And I think a loan for him would be good. I was a bit surprised there was a kind of buyout clause at the end of it. I was a wee bit surprised at that. That maybe suggests that if the deal's there to be done. But again, if he plays really well, Ross, he can still come back. So a loan for Ross McCrory, to me, I think is a good move at this stage in his career. Just for him alone, not for Rangers, for him alone.
And I just think it's shocking.
Are you happy with the players that are coming in, though?
Well, I mean, it's some of the good players that are really coming in. I can't wait to get the season kicked back off again. I mean, it's yourself. It's nothing but girls' football. I've got nothing against girls' football. I just want to see this season getting opened up again.
One of the things I'm looking forward to, Ross, is guys I don't really know much about. I mean, Edmondson, centre half from Oldham, but there was bigger English clubs looking at him, so we don't know what he's going to be like. But I think in an attacking sense, you know, I was mentioning all the centre midfield players as well. He signed Joe Aribo, another attacking central midfield player as well. Again, saw a wee bit of him last year because I was watching Sunderland because Jack Ross is the manager there. He looks as if he's got something, but again, will he be able to play at this level for Rangers? It's unknown. But Shea Ojo as well from Liverpool. You know, exciting attacking players. Will they be able to do it? We don't know. But I'm looking forward to seeing how they fit into this Rangers system because they've got a lot of players in that centre midfield area.
Ross, when you look at the players that have come into Rangers and the ones that are leaving, who would you, Ross McCrory aside, because you've touched on that, is there others that you would have wanted to stay rather than seeing them leaving the club?
I'd like to see the goalkeeper staying because I've watched the goal. I know he's not a player, but the goalkeeper, the guy's brilliant, saving all the goals. I really like the goalkeeper as well. I mean, it's just obviously every day you hear Rangers fans talking on this. I mean, it's every day they're talking about Rangers, Rangers this, Rangers that. Then someday they're flagging Rangers. I mean, Rangers are a great football team. Let's see what happens this season. Give the boys a chance. I mean, there's folk out there flag Rangers since the boys started. Give them a chance.
Yeah, Fraser, it's a case that, you know, these new players are coming in, some of them we don't know a lot about, but Steven Gerrard doesn't have unlimited funds that he can keep bringing players in and not get rid of any players.
They signed a lot of players in the last 12 months, you know, an awful lot of players in the last window, and this time last summer as well. So I don't think that you could say the board haven't put some money Steven Gerrard's way, or Mark Allen's way, who's negotiating the contracts. There's plenty of money being there, given Rangers' financial position. So yeah, I think that we're now getting to the stage where over the last 12 months Steven Gerrard's kept the players that he would like. He's brought in players that he wants to bring in, and it's now Steven Gerrard's squad, if you like. So from that point of view, I think he certainly will be judged a bit more critically, I think, by Rangers supporters this year. But plenty of attacking players, you know, Jordan Jones, Jake Hastie, Greg Stewart, all players who brought in an attacking sense as well. So I think it'd be interesting to see how Rangers line up and how they actually attack the game.
Daryl sent us a tweet. I don't care what anybody says, Ross McCrory is a better midfielder than Ryan Jack. No idea why we would send him on loan with an option to buy. Almost understood when Doherty went out on loan, but at least he's back. No guarantees for McCrory. You look at Greg Doherty, and sending him on loan to Shrewsbury has undoubtedly improved him.
It's been a better player, but there's another name just thrown into the mix, and all of a sudden we're at 6 and 7 and 8 central midfield players, which again explains why Ross McCrory as an individual is looking at that. You know, I can see there from Daryl, he's not happy because Rangers, from a Rangers perspective, that they've let him go. I'm not sure he would be ahead of Ryan Jack for me at this point. I like Ryan Jack. I think he's very underrated. You know, he mops the game up well. He does the it's a dirty part well. And he does things simply that sometimes he goes unnoticed, you know, and he's got a wee bit about him. You know, he'll put his foot in and he'll tackle. I think Ryan Jack's a first choice for Rangers.
You touched on earlier the European games coming up. Rangers have finally confirmed when the first leg of their Europa League qualifier will be. They play St Joseph's in Gibraltar, and it will be Tuesday at 4:45. It's quite close to the time before this one was confirmed.
Yeah, it'll be warm at that time of day as well for Rangers playing the remember Celtic playing on that pitch a couple of years ago?
Yeah, Lincoln Redims.
Hopefully it's a new, better pitch than it was there. It was like green concrete at that time, and Celtic lost. But I mean, I think it was just conditions more than anything else. I don't see any problems for Rangers. You know, I think there's only that one pitch on in the Principality that's able to play European football. But over the two legs, there can't be any problems for Rangers there.
Yeah,
surely.
An artificial surface for that one. But as you say, it should be fairly straightforward at this stage when you're going in against a team like St Joseph's. Not talking them down too much, but you would think Rangers have got far too much for them.
Yeah, I mean, remember Celtic lost? I think surely not. They took a wee spell in the second leg to get the goals, but they won out. They won fairly comfortably. But no, I don't see them in any problems for Rangers over there. I mean, if they did lose, I mean, the team lost a team from Luxembourg under Pedro Caixinha. I think this would probably be even worse than that, losing to a team
which
from
is a team they could possibly play again in the later stages. Yeah. But if you look at the Rangers team of Pedro Caixinha when they did go out to progress Niedercon to the team that is at Rangers now, how much do you see the improvement there?
Far better shape now than they were 12 months ago. Rangers, you know, even I know the gap was, what, 11 points at the end of the season, something like that. On the field of play, Rangers were far, far better. But this is a big year now, as I say, because this is the sort of third window Steven Gerrard's had and Mark Allen's had as well. And I think the fans will look at them a wee bit more critically. They've got a good look to their squad, but it's important to get off to a good start. And this game against St Joseph's should be a formality. They don't want any issues or any problems or any shaky start. Even a kind of close victory, I don't think would do. They want to go in there, put their mark on it, win by a couple of goals over there, and then enjoy the game at Ibrox.
We've spoken quite a lot over this summer about how big a season it is for both Celtic and for Rangers. In terms of for Rangers, this is something I've asked all the pundits. What do you think Steven Gerrard needs to achieve this season?
I think they must be looking to win the league this season. I think Steven Gerrard himself will be looking to get right up there. They want to go off to a good start. They stayed with Celtic, and I think when they beat Celtic at New Year last year, were they 3 points behind?
Yeah.
And then it just collapsed after the winter break. So they know they got there, and then things just went wrong, and Celtic powered on and won a whole load of games that made that gap bigger. But I think there were bigger expectations. This time last year, I don't think anybody within Rangers expected to win the league. They wanted to be second, obviously, and as close as they possibly could. I think the points gap was probably bigger than they would have liked, but I think that the improvement that Rangers had on the field of play was acceptable. This year again, the signings look good. Whether they turn out to be on the field of play, we don't know. I think they'll be looking to make a better fist of it and a better challenge to Celtic for longer, at least.
If they don't win the league, does he need to at least win a trophy?
Yeah, yeah. Steven Gerrard's not somebody who'll hang around. I mean, I'm not saying he would resign if he doesn't win a trophy, but you know, he's a realist. He's a winner. He's not daft. And I think that the way Rangers went out the two cups last year, I think, didn't help him either. The two defeats against Aberdeen, both in Glasgow as well, and really going out with a bit of a whimper. They didn't really get anywhere close to their best or close to winning the trophy. I think if they were second and closer and they won one of the cups, then fans would think that was okay.
His big thing was about consistency, or the lack of it at times last season. It was something they started to find towards the end of the season, and fans will get a chance to get a little glimpse of what lies ahead on Sunday. They've got their first pre-season friendly.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see his team, because he has got that game. They've got to fly out quite quickly, and 2 days later, a game against St Joseph's. And while I'm saying, yeah, it should be fairly straightforward, they can't afford to take it that way. And I know we're still in pre-season, and he'll chop and change his team, but be interesting to see what he plays against Oxford. You know, it's a meaningless game, really. It's a fitness game. I wonder whether there'll be more fringe players, and his key players for his game against St Joseph's might just wait until the Tuesday night. Although, in all the pre-season games that I've read about, they've played almost every player. They've kind of almost played two teams in each half, and they've even played three halves, three thirds, and changed the team all the time. So, but he's got to look at that St Joseph's game. That's the big game. Need to win that one.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're back after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Fraser Wishart here with me, Alison Conroy, through until 7 o'clock tonight on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've touched on Rangers Europa League qualifier next week. Well, Sarajevo say they think they've found some weaknesses in Celtic's team, which they plan to exploit. Neil Lennon's side, of course, travel to Bosnia for the first leg of their Champions League qualifier next Wednesday. One of their players, Dusan Hozic, has been speaking to the media. He says, Fraser, they don't have a lot of weak points, but they have a few, and we're aiming to take advantage of them. Celtic are the hardest opponent we could have gotten the draw, but that also means it's a great challenge for the players. Again, when you look at Celtic and you look at Rangers at this stage, it should be fairly straightforward for them.
Yeah, it should be, but we've seen it before where they do get difficult games like that one that they've identified a few weaknesses, but I'm not going to tell you what they are.
Yep.
You know, so that to me says we haven't really. We're just kind of making it up as we go along. But Sarajevo, unknown. But I don't think they'll be the strongest team in the qualifiers. But Celtic can't afford to be complacent again. You know, they've got so much riding on this campaign again. Disappointment last year of losing out at the last stage was huge for the Celtic supporters. And again, because the coefficient I mentioned earlier, the drop down for Scotland, then they've got four qualifying games. But it'd be interesting to see how Celtic, again, approach it. You know, they've got the first leg away from home, but they've got the likes of Julien is back in the squad, and they've got... are we going to call him Bialongi Mbombo, or is it Mbombo?
Bolly Bolingoli.
Bolly Bolingoli. I like that.
Yes.
Like that sounds quite simple as well. But I would guess he might play. Kieran Tierney's still not going to be fit for these games in any case. And who plays right back? Anthony Ralston's been playing there in the early stages. So a wee bit, they might be thinking, Sarajevo, that the sort of uncertainty of the new defence might be something they can take advantage of. But again, you think Celtic should have enough to get through.
Celtic have brought in three players so far, and Chris Julien, Luca Connell and Bolly Bolingoli. You mentioned the right back position there. Is that got to be Neil Lennon's focus at the moment, finding someone for that position, because he doesn't really have much there?
They almost need an entire whole back four. Mm-hmm. When you have Benkovic going back, Boyata leaving, Tierney's out injured, but there's uncertainty around whether he'll be there anyway, and Lustig leaving as well. So that was almost an entire first choice back four at some stages last season. I sometimes think that clubs sign too many players, you know, and I think they still need a right back, but why not have Anthony Ralston, if he's not going to be first choice, as a kind of second choice, and let the lad come into the team and let him play more games, let him develop as well. There's always a kind of fans just demand more and more signings. But the more players you've got, the less chance there is for young lads to come through. So I would see Ralston has been one of two of the right backs, and I think they maybe still need somebody of a bit more experience to play in that position.
The deadline has passed for Celtic signing anyone for this qualifier, but they can still add a wild card until the night before the game if they feel they need to.
Yeah, and they might well do that. And attacking there is a pretty well served when you get Schwed coming into the squad as well. You've still got all the sort of reliable guys from years gone by. They've got Ryan Christie, Callum McGregor. Mm-hmm. You've got Lee Griffiths coming back in is like a new signing as well. So I think in that kind of position up there, I don't think they need too much in attacking sense, Celtic. But I said one or two reinforcements. And it's interesting you said there they've only signed three players. Look at Connor, I think, be more a development player.
Yeah.
So two first team players. I don't think you'll see huge numbers this year from Celtic, but you'll see them spend a bit more money on a smaller number of players.
We spoke about Rangers and players going out that we're expecting that players will still head out from Celtic as well. I know there's interest in Kieran Tierney, nothing concrete happening as yet. Tom Rogic, another one's in at St Petersburg, interested in him. There's been some murmurings about Olivier Ncham as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But Rogic and Tierney, of course, are still injured at the moment.
Yeah.
So that may or may not happen. And the one with Tierney just seems to be a daily story, and nobody really seems to be able to pin down whether they actually have or how much Arsenal have bid or Napoli.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a good player. We know how good he's going to be, and he's going to attract attention. And that again is one for Celtic, and one that will develop quickly because the English transfer window closes probably in about a month's time. It closes before the Scottish transfer window.
01419511025 is the number you need. We've got William and Craig End on the line. Hello, William.
Hello. Good evening. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good evening, William.
It's just to talk like you're saying there, Fraser. I think, I mean, a lot of people are talking about the nine in a row and things like that, but I think the European venture for the Scottish clubs is really important.
Yeah.
After having a great year last year, we're getting two into the group stages. I think it's good for the players or not, even if there's a chance that we could even lose one of these qualifiers for next year if we do well this year. So for me, it's good for the players, and it's always a good distraction playing European football up to Christmas at least, you know. And I think I don't think it's been great for Celtic the build up, even though they've not lost a game. I just think losing Tierney and losing Rogic and Christie and then Cham is a big loss for getting into these games. But I just think we should manage to get through. I'm not up with my Bosnian football, you know, but I think we should get through it. We've got enough to get through it, you know, but I just think it'd be great for teams to even get to the group stages again.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I don't think any of us know much about Sarajevo, William, to be honest with you, but my job with the Players' Union, you speak to unions in these countries, you know, and their aim from their players is to leave that country, to get out as quickly as possible, because there's not much money in these countries. So you find out the Bosnian national team and Serbian national team and all the guys in that area, they want to go and play abroad. So it means that they're because that's where the money is. It means that their domestic football isn't quite as strong, but still they can't afford to think that way. And I agree with you totally. I mean, the excitement of European football for Scottish teams is there for us all. And when Celtic got knocked out last year, it's a huge disappointment to supporters, you know. And there was a wee lull in the season. It took a while to get going, Celtic. And I think this affected the players, the club, and the supporters. And in the early stages, the most important thing, I still think domestic league winning that is so important to our teams.
Yeah.
And of course with 9 in a row coming up, and I played for Rangers during the 9 in a row, so I know what the supporters it means to them.
Mm.
But at the early stage of the season, just concentrating on the European ties, that's the big thing, a big money earner. But also supporters might get to see some of the world stars coming and playing in their pitch as well. So the early part of the season for them, I'm sure the important thing is just Europe.
Well, you want to come back in?
I agree with that. I mean, I know the focus will be on 9 in a row, but I just think for the players as well, I know they get the winter break in that as well, but
yeah.
They get a coefficient up. I mean, a lot of people are quite negative about Scotland in the league, and as you talked about the Bosnian league there, I don't know if it's full-time or part-time, I'm not sure, but...
It's full-time,
it's a full-time league. Well, they should be, for me, they should be quite decent then, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You shouldn't underestimate them, you know, I think, at this early stage, it's a lot better than watching friendlies, you know. I think it's great to have competitive games, you know, but I would for the players and for the club, it's great to get into Europe and have that at least until up to Christmas, you know. That's the way I would look at it.
Yeah, no, but I agree, William, and if you look online and you see these websites that calculate our coefficient, and it's pretty boring, and you're thinking, it's a football show, why are we talking about this? But Rangers and Celtic doing so well last year was brilliant. We went up from 25 to 20. We almost got another couple of places. I think we get to 15. I could be wrong. I think we get to 15. Then we get a team automatically into the Champions League. And if we go up to 16 or 17 this season, it might cut a round or two off the qualifying next year for whoever's involved in it. So as bad as it may feel, Rangers and Celtic supporters need the opposition to do well this year because it's going to help our country.
Okay, well,
I agree with you. Aye, that's magic. Thanks a lot, guys. I agree with you entirely. You know, I think all the best to the clubs in, for next week and the weeks heading up to the start of the league as well. Hopefully they can qualify and get into the group stages and at least to European fifth, at least Christmas anyway, you know.
Yeah, I hope so, William.
Thank you to William and Craig N for his call. Rangers have just confirmed that Ross McCrory is indeed heading to Portsmouth on loan for the season, so we wish him all the best down there, and a team that are going to be challenging.
Yeah, and a big team playing against big teams. There's some good teams in that League One, not least Sunderland and Charlton and many others that played Premiership football in the last 5 or 6 years. So I think it's a good move for Ross. You know, Rangers supporters, I think mixed feelings. I think there's a lot of them feel he should be getting a run in the team and getting a game. But if Steven Gerrard decided he's not going to be a first choice, as I said earlier, when you're a football player, you just want to play, and it's a key part in his development, and he can't afford to wait another 2 years and just be a squad player. Go and play at Portsmouth and then see where you are next year. You can back play for Rangers if they don't want you. Portsmouth could be in the Championship. Great move for the young lad.
I want to go back to the European ties next week. We've spoken about Rangers, we've spoken about Celtic, we've got two other teams playing European football as well in Aberdeen and Kilmarnock. What do you see the target being for them? Obviously Kilmarnock a little bit of an unknown going into it because they've got Angelo Alessio in charge now.
Yeah, and they've not signed any players. They've really not brought anybody in. I know they've got trialists in at the moment, and they were trying to get a couple over the line today, but they've not signed any new players. But they're not as strong because Jordan Jones is gone, Chris Boyd retired, there's one or two others have kind of moved on as well. So I would think Connor's key nomads in the first stage. You know, I saw them play against Ross County.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, no disrespect to the guys, but it was not great football. And I think that Kilmarnock should go through that one, but they've got a tough one. I can't remember who it is. Is it Partizan Belgrade or somebody? If they get through that one, so they've got a tough one. The second one, I think Aberdeen have got to aim. I think they've got to try and aim for the group stages. I mean, that Hibs were nearly there last year. They almost made it last year, and I quite like the look of the signings that Derek McInnes has made last year. A bit of a transition year, and you know, Derek's often been criticised for maybe not giving youngsters a chance, but you know, young lads came through, that Conor McLennan and people like that as well, top players. You know, like signs Bryson, the James Wilson. I think James Wilson's got something. I mean, he's a great footballer. It didn't show enough in terms of goal scoring there as well.
Yeah, a few eyebrows raised when they signed him permanently yesterday. But from what you're saying, there's more to come from him.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I was surprised as well because he didn't score enough goals.
Yeah,
and that was the problem. I think lads like that, when big clubs, sometimes they get loaned out for so long and they've always got the comfort of going back to Manchester United on a big wage. You know, so they can go on loan, and if it doesn't happen, they go back to the club. Now James is away from Manchester United. This is his bread and butter. This is his job. And I think you'll see him improved. He's got the talent. There's no doubt in that. I think if he can apply himself, he can get goals as well. But I think Bryson's a good signing. I think Curtis Main will do well for them as well. I liked him at Motherwell. So, you know, a decent squad of experienced players coming in there and the youngsters coming through, but I think Aberdeen have got to try and get at least to the sort of towards the Europa League stage. I think they've got to try and aim for that. If they can get to Europa League, that'd be fantastic.
Signings like James Wilson pushing Stevie May further down that pecking order, and there's suggestion that St Mirren are one of the clubs interested in taking Stevie for the new season.
Yeah, it's amazing. Such a great talent when he was at St Johnstone, got a big move, and he doesn't seem to have recovered from a couple of really serious knee injuries. I mean, he still looks, when I saw him playing last year, he looked busy, still pacey, he works hard. He just doesn't look confident in front of goal, and that's an issue again. You get Wilson, you'd May. If you don't score goals, a striker, all the stuff that you do outside the box and all the chasing and all the hard work doesn't count for anything, and it looks like he is going to find himself down that pecking order with one or two players that they've signed Aberdeen, and it may well be that he's going to have to move on and try and resurrect his career. I hope he does. He's a good lad. He just hasn't recovered. maybe confidence-wise more than anything else that, from that serious injury.
Grace in East Kilbride has given us a call tonight as well. Good evening, Grace.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hi, Grace.
Hiya. I was on a few months back when they married or left us, and I had a bit of a... what they even said at the time. Especially caring. It's a completely different ballgame as far as I'm concerned. Kieran Tierney's won a place in the Celtic fans' two hearts and minds. And I think if he does go, he'll go with, I would say, 90% of the fans' best wishes. You're always going to get someone that's going to disagree with it. Kieran Tierney's a class act, and I think if he does go, he's not going to go in the manner that Mr. Rodgers left the club. And that was my take on the whole situation. And I don't think it does any good for all this speculation as well. It can be good for Kieran. Obviously, there's a lot of things in social media as well. And I just wish one way or another it was decided sooner rather than later so that we can all draw a line and move on.
Fraser, we had a couple of calls last night, one in particular saying that if Kieran Tierney was to go, it would make him as bad as Brendan Rodgers. But Grace makes a valid point. When you think what he's done for Celtic, he has won a place in all their hearts, all the Celtic fans' hearts. He's not going to be compared to the way that Brendan Rodgers decided to leave the club.
Some supporters need to get a grip. I mean, football people are players are human beings. Football people are human beings like anybody else. And Kieran Tierney is an absolute dyed-in-the-wool Celtic supporter. And if he moves on, it doesn't mean he's any less dyed-in-the-wool. If he stays, it doesn't mean he's any more. It's just ridiculous to even
suggest
that.
Can I just make another point
here? Sorry, guys, I was just going to say, when you're looking at side clubs the size of Arsenal and Napoli, energy's going to be tempted by that. It's a short career, and you want to go and play against the very, very best.
Yeah, sorry, Grace.
That was my point. It is a very short career. I mean, God forbid anything could happen to any player. And if anything did happen to him, which obviously everybody hopes it never would, but if it did, you'd be better it happening when you were earning £50,000 a week as £15,000 a week. And if it was my son playing for Celtic, and I'm sure he wishes that he was, then I would say to him as well, you have to think about you first and foremost and what's right for you. But I definitely don't think he would lose the feelings that a lot of the Celtic fans have for him. And I'm just sorry that Hugh's not on tonight, because marquee or not, I'm very happy so far with all the signings that we've made.
Is he still looking for a marquee signing, is he, Grace?
I think he's away putting his tent up somewhere. And I'm very confident we'll do 9, and God willing we'll do 10 as well.
That's funny.
I mean, Grace does make that point again, going back to some of the callers last night. They believe that Kieran Tierney shouldn't leave now. He should stay for 9. If they do 9, he should stay for 10. But it's that point as well. I mean, it's all if, buts, and maybes. But what if he gets an injury, which is career threatening? We don't want that to happen to any player, but you don't know what's going to happen.
The chance can pass him by. The chance can pass you by. A chance to play in the Premiership in England, or to play in Italy, or to play at the very highest level can pass you by. And football players get to where we are because we're competitors, because we hate losing, because we want to better ourselves, we want to keep testing ourselves. And I've got absolutely no problem. I've got no problem with Brendan Rodgers. I think the stick that Brendan Rodgers got was out of order as well, but that's another matter. But Kieran Tierney, if he does move on, he moves on with Celtic getting huge and vast sums of money into their bank account as well. And I don't think you can cast any aspersions at him. I think Grace is right. I think the vast, vast majority, 99% of Celtic fans will be fine. A couple of dafties might not be, but that's their prerogative.
Thank you to Grace for her call. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're back after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Alison Conroy and Fraser Wishart here with Clyde One Super Scoreboard tonight. I want to go straight back on to the Lions, and Stephen and Renfrew's given us a call. Hello, Stephen.
Good evening, Alison and Fraser. How are you tonight?
Very
evening,
well,
Stephen.
Thank you.
Very well, yourself?
Yeah, I'm on a shift, but I'm out. Old Kilpatrick's lovely.
Oh, very nice.
You're not flash, pop in for a cup of tea.
Well, I've got a well-being cabin, you'll see, it's right. Anyway, I've got one question. I've got loads of questions, but I know you finish at 7.
Right, go for it.
For Fraser, see the coefficient you were speaking about?
Yeah.
What number do the Scottish teams have to get until they get in the Champions League?
Do you know something? I don't know exactly. I think it's 15. Maybe 15. Somebody else will maybe be able to phone in. You get these websites and social media sites you can have a look at. But it's something like that. I think we're 20 just now, Stephen.
20, so they get 15, then whoever wins the Premiership.
Yeah.
Is into the Champions League straight away.
Yeah, yeah. Something that's it's about there. But we weren't far off last year. I mean, we weren't close to getting there, but we really closed the gap hugely. Hugely. So another season like last season, we'll not be far off it again this year.
If every team does well this year, well, it's only going to be a plus then.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And including Hibs did well last year. Hibs almost, they get through sort of three qualifying rounds as well. So they get a number of points, and you get points for winning games and points for getting through to the next round. I don't know how they work it out, but it's important.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for that. Just a quick word on the Kieran Tina thing.
Yeah.
See the lad they signed for Rapid Vienna. I can't mind his second name.
Bully.
Aye. Well done, Alison. so but I like his bit of news on BBC Text that he never joined Celtic because Kieran Tierney was leaving. He joined Celtic because he wants competition. So I like that story as if, oh, there's something in that. Can I hear your comments on that?
Yeah, he said that at yesterday's media conference, not just on the BBC Text. He was asked about Kieran Tierney and whether he was, you know, he was given any assurances that he was going to be first choice, and he said it didn't make any difference. He's ready for competition as much as he says he's aware of Kieran Tierney and how good he is, and whether he's there or not, he's there to challenge.
Yeah, good. I mean, I hope Kieran's still at Celtic because you want the best players to stay in Scotland. But if he does go, you can understand why. You know, it's not just about the money; it's also about the competition there as well. But Kieran has missed a number of games last year, and Johnny Hayes playing fullback, and they kind of struggled. He's a Geary playing, I don't think it was the same old Izzy Geary from years ago, but you need a couple of players at each position. So he seems to be a good player. I don't know much about him at all, Stephen, but if Kieran Tierney does go, he's got a decent pedigree to step in there and replace him anyway.
I like the fact that how Johnny Hayes has progressed in the last sort of 6 to 18 months.
Yeah, good player, Johnny.
And he's versatile. He can play fullback and he can bomb forward. And his crossing's pretty decent. So I think Celtic would be okay. But having three like that, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, as you said, anyway, can play further forward as well. I think Neil Lennon likes Johnny Hayes as well, Stephen. I think he's a fan.
Yeah. So thanks for your time. And I'll let you push on and
enjoy your work.
The rest of the phone on.
Thank you, Stephen.
It's no physical, I'll put it that way. Okay, no. Right, thanks.
That was Stephen in Renfrew. Want to go to the other side of the country, to Edinburgh. Anne Budge says Hearts always have to be wary of how other teams are going about their business after American businessman Ron Gordon bought over Hibs this week. He's injecting, of course, that seven-figure fee into the Easter Road side, and Budge says that everyone at Hearts will need to pull together to make sure they can compete with that.
Well, obviously, when we're doing the planning and putting the plans together, we've got to be aware of the wider football landscape, basically, and that landscape is changing, there's no question about that. If you look at the number of overseas investors who are coming into Scottish football, I think it's going to get more competitive. We're obviously in a fairly unique situation where we're going to be a fans-owned club, and so the message I need to get over to the supporters is, yes, absolutely, we'll continue to to compete, but the fans now are the backers of the club, and we must all pull together and keep competing.
I mean, a seven-figure sum going into Hibs is absolutely brilliant for them, but Anne Budge, as she says, is looking at that thinking, right, we need to do what we can, but they are in that unique position.
Yeah, they don't have that same model. I think that's what she's trying to stress there to Hearts supporters, is that slowly but surely they will eventually own the whole club. And what the Hearts supporters have done for their club has been unbelievable. I mean, I was involved in the administration, if you like, and it was almost gone completely. There almost was no Hearts at all. And the money they've ploughed in has been wonderful. They've got a new stand. They've got they've got a complete turnaround. But you're looking at their squad, and they've signed Craig Halkett, signed Connor Washington, both in free transfers. Jamie Walker, I'm not sure whether they paid any money for him, but a small fee. And they'll be worried, I think, the supporters of Hearts, that Hibs are going to get vast sums of money. I don't think they're going to get 10 million to spend, but they'll have a bit more than they had as well. And you might see some players come in, because sometimes when they say we've invested the money or whatever else, that's really just buying the shares, it's purchasing the club. But I don't see why this gentleman Ron Gordon would buy the club without investing money in it. You know, why would you buy it just to run it on the same line? So interesting times at Hibs, because it's been Rod Petrie and Tom Farmer for so long. a change just is going to invigorate the place. So yeah, exciting times through there.
Yeah, it's an absolutely massive change. And Anne Budge was speaking about these overseas investors and somewhere else that's got that's Dundee United. And when you look at that, and Lauren Shankland is opting to stay in Scotland to sign for Dundee United, who'll be pushing to win the championship this season, rather than rejecting a deal down south. So it shows some of the money maybe that's coming into the game that's kind of encouraging players to stay here, which can only be good for us as well.
Yeah, as long as it's invested properly. I mean, I'm old enough and ugly enough to have been through so many administrations. My job with the PFA, you know, I've been right in the middle of it, dealing with administrators, dealing with all the issues that come there. And that's usually because clubs have overspent.
Mm-hmm.
And usually because when owners say they put money into it, they don't really. They lend the money to the football club and then they demand it back and the club can't pay it back. So we've got to be careful in terms of how they go about it. But any kind of money that's invested properly into Scottish football can only be beneficial. But huge pressure on Dundee United this year. We've been down in that league now for 3 years, not really been close to getting up. You know,
is this the season that they have to come back up? Every season we say this, but that's, you know, 3 seasons.
Even just in a football sense and the supporters' sense as well. If they don't do it this year with new investors, with supposedly, certainly supporters would think, money being invested in the team and signing players and good contracts and some of the players they seem to be looking at from abroad. Yeah, I think they have to go up this year. But I look at Dundee and I quite like, I'm biased, I know James McPake, I think he's a really good guy and I think he's got something about him to be a good manager. But they've got a decent squad there when you look at who's added to and kept their best players as well. So it'll be difficult for United.
What kind of support is Gordon Strachan going to provide to James as a young manager as well?
I think he'll be there for him. I don't know. I haven't spoken to James recently about it. And I kind of got the impression Gordon's stuff is more about the youth. Gordon's got his own foundation.
Yeah, Jimmy Nicholls there, of course.
In England,
well,
Jimmy Nicholls there to help out. So I think Gordon's more about trying to implement what his ideas are because he's got a really good foundation down in England, which helps young lads maybe get a second chance. So I think his role will be probably more to do with that. But he's always on the end of a phone if James wants him. But you're right, he's got Jimmy Nicholls there who's old in the tooth as well.
A big move confirmed today for midfielder Aidan Fitzpatrick. He's completed his switch from Partick Thistle to Premier League side Norwich City for a fee of around £350,000, Fraser.
Yeah, disappointing that the lads left, but again, everybody's got the price in their head. That's the problem with Scottish football, and you hope it's not too early for him. But again, I don't know the details of the deal. He'll get far more money going down to Norwich City, and there's always a, you know, we represent players as a PFA, and you want them, first and foremost, it's about football. Where are you going to play? You want to play regularly, you want to stay where you are, but there's a tipping point where sometimes an offer becomes so good you can't turn it down, even though you're maybe not going to play and you're going to be away from it. But he's got a good club. I like the guys at Norwich. They're in the club well, and he'll go into this sort of academy there, and you never know, in a couple of years time maybe look at Ryan Fraser going down south. We all said, was that too early? Look at him now, flying, absolutely flying the Premiership.
And in terms for Partick Thistle as well, that kind of money when they're trying to build to also try and mount a challenge in that league can make such a massive difference as well.
Yeah, you add that money to the sort of cut they got of Liam Lindsay's transfer deal when he went to Stoke City. They were on a percentage of the profits there, so there'll be, I don't know how much, a few hundred thousand pounds again going into there. So when you're down there and the parachute payment kind of begins to go from the drop from the Premiership, they need to have that kind of cash. So it'll help Gary Caldwell invest in his team, and hopefully the Jags will be up the top end of the table.
Do you expect more from them this season?
I would think top four for Thistle is an absolute necessity. They have to get into the playoffs, give themselves a chance of being promoted.
And just a quick one that I thought was an impressive signing for Falkirk, given they've just been relegated, was Connor Salmon coming in.
Yeah, they signed a lot of good players. You know, Michael Tidzer from Morton as well. I think they'll romp that division, and sometimes you've got to hit rock bottom before they can come back up. I've seen it before. I played for Falkirk. They're a big club for that kind of level. They should be near the top end of the championship. So yeah, they should romp that league this year.
That's about it for tonight. Andrew McLean is back on Monday night with Hugh Keevan. So as always, you can keep up to date with everything that's happening on Twitter at Clyde SSB. GBX is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
This 4th of July, celebrate freedom from bad sleep at Sleep Outfitters. Right now, save up to 70% on best-selling mattresses from the brands you know and trust. Plus, with select Sealy purchases, get a free adjustable base to help you sleep cooler, deeper, and more comfortably. Not sure which mattress is right for you? Our exclusive bed match diagnostic technology helps match your body to the perfect mattress in just minutes. And get free white glove delivery and setup, plus our lifetime price guarantee and 0% interest financing. Hurry into Sleep Outfitters. These deals won't last.